This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to be talking about today, Sean?
I think today let's talk about escape routes.
Escape routes, evacuation routes, I need help.
Yes, I need help, exactly. Which, I mean, when you and I first started doing this, I kind of thought it was funnier, like we were overreacting with planning an escape route, but we've used it, so...
We have. So when we first started, we've mentioned in the past that we went up to the Porcupine Mountains. The route we decided to take, I guess what we can say, we started at Mirror Lake.
No, Lake of the Clouds.
Yep. Lake of the Clouds. Then we walked down. We did the long. I know there's the Mirror Lake Trail that we could have taken to get to Mirror Lake, but we went around. I want to say it was the Little Beaver Trail, like Escarpment, and then Little Beaver, something like that. We ended up going like 12 miles or 8 miles. I forget how long it was. But we did a longer route rather than the 2.5 or whatever it would have been. And then that was the first full day. Second full day, we ended up going up to Governor's Peak. And then the next day on our way out, we went back to Lake of the Clouds to get to our truck. Well, knowing that there was that mid-mark, that little 2.5 mile trail to get back to Lake of the Clouds and the parking lot, we kind of use that as that is our first full day. We might really hate this, or I can't do it anymore.
Right.
Something, you know, we use that as a, we'll judge it off of our first day. If we need to bail, that's our bail point. We'll have a discussion that night, like, are we going to keep going? Because if we keep going, then we're in the middle of the Porcupine Mountains and there's no more escape route. But we use that as a, we know that we can get out of this fairly easy if we need to, if we've bitten off more than we can chew.
I know, which was funny because, like, do you remember, like, when we first started, remember we would pack our bags and go for, like, day hikes just to try mm-hmm. it out? So we were pretty confident that we were going to be okay doing that distance because we had gone on just, right. You know what we even did? Remember, I put a weighted blanket in mine because I didn't even have all the stuff to pack it. So yeah. I was feeling...
Well, I started training with... I bought a 20-pound weighted vest, like a training vest.
Yes.
Like for the gym, like people go running with these things or whatever. And I mean, okay, half the weight's on your front, half the weight's on your back, but you're still getting your legs used to walking with more weight than what you weigh.
Right.
So, and it was 20 pounds. So I threw that into my pack on top of other stuff. Like,
right.
Our day hikes were.
So we had done like practice hikes and we were pretty confident that we were going to be able to do the distances that we had laid out for us. But even with that, we were like, you know, okay, so we're out here in the woods. This is our first, like, real-time, multi-day trip. Right. I mean, A, we might hate it, because we didn't even know for sure we were going to like it still at that point.
Right.
So we're like, okay, well, let's plan this so that we know, like, okay, if we get to this spot on the first day, and if it just sucks and we hate it, well, here's a shortcut back to the truck that we could take and just, like, call it quits.
Right.
And luckily, we did not need to use that trip.
Yep.
But I am happy that we had that option.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm happy that we planned ahead. I'm happy that we took a map, which we'll have a whole separate episode on maps, because maps in and of themselves are just a whole different beast. But I'm glad we had that to know, like, okay, this is where we're supposed to be, and this is how we could get out if we need to. Or worst case scenario, even in the middle of the day that first day, there were spots that we got to that it was like, okay, we're halfway through the first day, we could turn here and go back towards a road if we needed to get out of the woods. So that, I mean, I feel like that was a really good idea. We didn't use it that trip, but I still really feel like that was a good idea.
Yeah. I still feel like if it's possible to have that, then have it. You know, pictured rocks, you're going end to end. We purposely, in the Porkies, we did a loop because we didn't have a way to get back to a well, there probably are shuttles or trail angels or things like that. Another episode, of course, but there probably are. But we just planned it where we got a parking lot here. We found a loop that we could do that was the mileage we wanted. So that's how we planned that trip, and then we ended up, it just had to have, there ended up having this trail that was kind of the midway point, and or at the end of one night, and just if we need to get out of there, we can get out of there. Like, if somebody twisted an ankle or whatever, we drop the pack. We drop the packs, one of us gets back to the truck, gets help, you know, whatever.
Well, and so, it was all brand new gear. Like, most of the gear we had never used before. You know, we're like, it was total. Realistically, we should have done a single night overnight one before we got to that point. But hindsight,
absolutely, we should have. That's what we mentioned on one of our previous episodes. Was like, the first time you use your gear, it should be in your backyard or like a couple of miles from your house, and you hike a mile or two, set it all up, use it, make sure it all works.
I think we tested the stove. Didn't we test the stove one time?
We tested the stove at a glamping trip. We tested the stove and tested how it actually turned out to make the one of our meals or whatever, you know. So it we did test that out, but that was all we really tested.
Right. So that trip, you know, went fine. We didn't need a escape route for that one. But as a matter of habit, since that trip, we have always, every time we go, it's like, okay, what is the escape route if we need it? You know, what if somebody twists an ankle? What if we just can't do it? What if, you know, whatever. So every trip we have taken since then, one of the things that we have planned is, okay, what's worst case scenario? Where do we get back to civilization if we need it? And Mike and I always talk about, like, okay, worst case scenario, one of us can stay there with the packs while the other one, you know, makes it into town or makes it out to a road or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, one of us could stay put with the packs and lighten the load for somebody else that is actually going to go. I don't want to say go get help, because it's not even necessarily that you need help. It's just like if you need to bail because you're too exhausted or whatever, like, you don't necessarily need help for that, but you need to get back to civilization, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, you might not even need to get to civilization. You might just need to find that one spot along the trail somewhere that has cell signal.
Well, like, right.
You know, like, every once in a while in the Porkies, we would dip into cell signal. I have no idea how, but we would dip into cell signal somewhere, and then all of a sudden on long pictured rocks, we would end up with cell signal every once in a while too. So,
yeah, I know.
They
say right in everything you read about pictured rocks, like, do not count on cell phone signal here because you're in the middle of nowhere and there is no cell phone signal. But we'd be walking along and then all of a sudden one of our phones would ding with a message or something and be like, oh, I guess we have signal right here. So,
right.
You know, it's so, like, not that, I mean, so you kind of get out in the woods to get away from all that, but, you know, sometimes it is nice to just be able to check in with loved ones and be like, yep, I'm still alive, I haven't died yet, and
Right. I didn't fall off the cliff.
Exactly. So, you know, you take the opportunity when it presents itself sometimes to communicate with people. But
I was just going to say, speaking of pictured rocks and cell signal and all that kind of stuff, that leads us into last year, our second three-night trip. We didn't necessarily have an evacuation route planned, per se.
Right.
But it really solidified the need that going forward, we're going to make sure we have something or some kind of a plan. Like, we can get to this road, find somebody that's driving, or we can get to a town or we're going to try to plan as much as we can. I really don't want to say we're going to hitchhike into town, because I really don't know if that's the safest thing to do.
No, it's for sure not the safest thing to do. According to the multiple murder podcasts that I listen to, hitchhiking is not the way to go.
But at least you get to a road. All roads will lead to a town at some point, somehow. So you get to a road, you walk along that, and a road is typically going to be easier terrain than a trail.
Correct.
So
yeah, that's my thought too.
That's what, you know, we're going to, our trip next year, I don't know that we'll necessarily have a town nearby, but we'll be able to, I mean, we've got to research, we got to look into it. We really haven't even started the full planning of it yet, but getting ahead of ourselves, we were in Pictured Rocks last year, as we were this year too, but we started it last year, and first day in, we hiked about 4.5-5 miles.
Yep.
Got to camp, set up camp. Everything was great. You know, we got to camp at a decent hour. We got to look at the lake, got to get water, get our dinner, get everything going. Everything's a normal night. Had a few nips off of a pint or the whole pint. Went to bed. Everything's fine. Wake up in the morning, start doing our normal stuff. And then it decided it needed to be, I don't know, damn near 90 or above 90 degrees.
It was
above
90 at the peak of the day.
Yeah. And the only breeze we got was like when the trail was right at the cliff's edge.
Yep.
And then you'd tuck back into the woods, and then again, you're back to 90 degrees, 90% humidity.
Yeah.
We were just dying. We could not drink enough water. We both ran out of water, even with refilling.
We ran out of water multiple times.
Yeah.
It was like you just could not get enough water. And we both had a Camelback, they're not Camelback brand, but a water bladder in our pack and water bottles. And we were filling both of those up and still running out of water. It was hot and miserable and way harder than we had planned on it being. How far were we even supposed to go that day? Like 10.5 miles?
I think we were going to 10.5 or 11 miles.
Yeah. Which... Realistically,
I think we were going 12 because we got to the 9-mile mark, and that's when we was it. It was the 9-mile mark. I'm pretty sure that we ended up deciding like we had 3 more miles to get to our campsite.
Yep.
And then the next day we were going to have to go another
9 or 11,
or whatever. And we were already like, I can't do today. I don't know if I can do tomorrow. We had it in our mindset that we couldn't. That was one of our things. I don't know if the mindset would have turned things around or not. I mean, I'm not in that situation or in that mindset anymore, but we got to this point where we were just dragging ass. We're typically.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Almost 3 mile an hour. Like, we're about 22 mile minute.
We're like
22 minute mile.
Yeah, we're like a 3 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Like, pretty consistent 3 mile an hour.
Yeah. And we were down to maybe like a mile, mile and a half an hour.
Yeah.
Like, we were just dragging ass. We were dead. I wouldn't necessarily say I was sore. I was just out of breath. Could not just had no energy. Could not find the oomph or anything to keep going.
Yeah, and I don't remember being sore. I don't remember being...
It was just way more up and down and up and down, getting over these different rock formations and different things like that than not necessarily than what I was expecting, but in those conditions,
yeah.
I think it was a little bit more than what I had trained for or could handle. I don't know.
Yep.
And we were still in the habit of packing too much clothes.
Right.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff, too. So,
yeah. So, like Mike said, we get to, like, this 9 mile point, and we both kind of look at each other, and we had been dragging ass for half the day at that point.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, looking at the map, looking at where we are, looking at where we need to go. And then I asked you, I think, I'm like, okay, realistically, do you think you can do this again for 2 more days with how you're feeling right now?
Right.
I knew my answer. My answer was no. But if you had said, yeah, I can still do it, I don't know what I would have said. But luckily, you said, yeah, I don't know if I can keep going. So we made the decision at that point because there was a fork in the trail where you could continue on, or you could turn and head back south and get to a it's a federal campground there, I think, like a drive-in
that
federal campground.
I think it was federal. It was a drive-in rustic
Yeah,
like people were taking their campers, but there wasn't electricity, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Like anything. So yeah,
so we're like, okay, well let's turn here, let's go up to this campground. And, you know, we'll see if we've got cell phone signal, or we'll see what the options are, and we'll figure it out from there. So we get to this campsite or campground, and miraculously had like one bar of cell phone signal.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll share the little funny story is that it started downpouring on us. Like,
oh, that's right. I forgot all about the rain.
Yeah, we're sitting at this little fork in the road. It says the campground's a mile or a mile and a half south, or you can continue on, on your merry way east, and it's going to be, we knew it was going to be at least 3 miles. The maps and the markers are never 100% accurate. It was probably closer to 4, but it was 3 miles at least to get to our campsite. So we're like, okay, if we get to this campground and everything's all booked up, we either have to hike back a mile, find a place that we can just set up camp, or we're going to end up doing 5 miles to get to the 3 miles to get to our campsite.
Right.
So it was a gamble, but at the same time, if we weren't really wanting to go that 3 miles, we were just going to set up camp in the middle of the forest anyway, or the woods. So we make it to this campground, and we're just walking along. We're like, okay, there's some empty sites. It was a Saturday night at that point. We're like, if it's this late on a Saturday, they're probably vacant. So we, you know, start setting our gear down, and we found another guy that had gotten dropped off, and he's setting his tent up and had water in his tent because it downpoured on him. I forgot about the rain. While we're walking to the campground, it just downpoured on us. We tried to get our ponchos out, and we at least covered our packs and whatnot, but took a few breaks here and there, but get to that campsite and your campground, Miraculously, you had cell signal. My phone didn't want to give me cell signal. You ended up with cell signal. So you found the site for that campground we were there, and you called to see if we could book a site.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I had enough.
Womp. Right. Well, I know. Because remember, when we got to the campground, there was like one of those wooden signboards or whatever at the entrance. Mm-hmm. And it says,
"That's right. That's what it was.
This is where you are, and here's a map of Michigan and all the things." And then it was like, "For reservations, contact this number or whatever." So I called the 800 number.
Well, yeah, there's like big signs, no camping, absolutely no camping without a reservation.
Right.
Like all this crap.
Right. So I'm like, okay, well, I got a bar signal. Let me call this 800 number. So I had enough signal to get through. I talked to the lady, and she tells me, nope, every site is booked tonight. So it's like, okay, well, there goes that plan, because our plan had been just to pick an empty spot and then set up tent there. But then she tells me that they're all booked. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to set up my tent and then have somebody come in after we've all set up or in the middle of the night and all the things. So then it's like, okay, well, that's not an option. So then after that, what we ended up doing is, so this is not everywhere, but in Pictured Rocks, there's actually a bus that will take you, it's specifically for hikers, and it'll take you from wherever you park your car and go drop you off at where you want to start hiking, and then you can hike back to your car. So I had that number because that's how we had gotten dropped off in the first place, was from this bus. So I call the bus people. Of course, it's after hours on a Saturday, which is not great, but turns out they have like an on-call 24-hour dispatcher dude. So I talked to the dispatcher dude, and I'm like, okay, this is where it says we are. Who do I need to beg to come pick us up, to take us back to our vehicle? And he's like, well, the buses aren't running anymore tonight. Well, first he tells me, that can't be where you are because there's no cell signal there.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. Is like they argued with us where we're at because there's no cell signal there. They're like, nobody gets cell signal there. There's no way you're that little it was Little Beaver campground.
Right. And I don't want to say he was arguing with me, but he was very much like, you can't be where you say you are because there's no cell phone signal there. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm standing right next to this big sign that says that this is where I am. I don't know what to tell you. So,
right.
He was actually a super nice guy. But he's like, okay, well, there's nothing I can do about it tonight. Call back tomorrow morning when the actual office staff comes in. And if there's any room on any bus during the day, they will come and pick you up. So it's like, okay, so that's like hurdle number one. Then he tells me we'll be $35 per person, cash only.
Right.
And Mike and I did not have the foresight to bring cash.
Right. Well, I never have cash on me.
I never have cash either.
I mean, I'm starting to now because there are places that are that I tend to go to that are taking their credit card machines out because of the fees and all that stuff. So whatever, they don't want to pass it on to me. I'll pay the fees, but whatever. Don't especially that amount. Like, I'll carry $10-15 maybe, but like, I'm not carrying, $35-50 or whatever at a time.
Right.
Just cash.
So the bonus lesson to having an escape plan, this is a bonus lesson for you in this episode. The bonus lesson is, if you're going hiking, take at least a little bit of cash with you, because you might need it.
Right.
So anyway, so the guy comes, wound up being fine. We go out in the middle of the woods for the night, set up camp in the middle of the trail, a mile away from camp. We kind of both said to each other, like, okay, we're not supposed to be here, but I guess worst case scenario, if the DNR or park ranger or whoever catches us out here, well, maybe they'll give us a ride.
I didn't want to be here either.
Right.
So, wasn't supposed to be here. Didn't want to be here. Right. We're trying to leave.
Right. We are trying.
Escort us out.
we are trying not to be here as much as you don't want us here at this point.
Right.
So
So,
But having said that, we did not plan that evacuation route, but we did at least have a map with us. So we knew where that trail went, and we knew it went back to a campground, and we knew it went back towards a road. So,
And the other plan was, so when we got, like, we camped for the night. Sorry, I guess I cut you off. We're not even to the next morning, so go ahead. I was just going to.
Well, no, I mean, that's basically the end of the story. And then the next morning rolls around, and the bus comes and picks us up and takes us back. And
well, so, yeah, the bus comes and picks us up, yada, yada, yada. But we wake up in the morning, we tear camp down, we go to the parking lot. They told us don't go to the campground, go to the parking lot, which is a half mile away, which was actually closer than the campground. So just a right on another trail rather than the left. So we get to the parking lot, and we're like, well, crap. We had cell signal at the campsite. We don't know if we will have cell signal.
Right.
And in the parking lot. Somehow I ended up with two bars. And so I got a hold of the bus people, and we're talking to them, and they're like, it's cash only. And we were like, okay, well, is there an ATM nearby? Can the bus take us to an ATM? We're talking to the dispatcher, not the bus driver. So they got to call the bus driver, figure all this out. I mean, mind you, we're just trying to get out of the woods at this point.
Right.
Yeah. And so, Sean was about the closest town with the ATM that we were able to get to was 8 miles.
Yeah.
And you were just going to leave me with the packs, and you were going to take off, and I was going to wait for the bus.
Yeah.
But they were like, the bus will be there in a half hour. And we're like, we can't walk 8 miles in a half hour.
Right.
I'm not the Flash. So we're like, can he get us to that or an ATM? We're going to Grandma Rye. Like, can we get to an ATM? We want to pay for this ride. We're not asking for a handout or freebie or whatever. We just need to get out of here. We can run to the ATM, meet somewhere, whatever. The dude was nice enough. He said, yep, I've got some passengers. I've got to drop them off first, but then I'll get you where you need to be, and we'll get to the ATM and all that stuff. So, I mean, we tipped him very well.
Yeah.
He was an awesome guy. He's an experienced hiker. He knows the needs of getting out of the woods and all that kind of stuff. So couldn't have worked out better in the hindsight of we found cell signal where there shouldn't be cell signal. Found the nice guy that was willing to take us to any. I mean, he could have told us to pack sand. If you don't have cash, you know, cash is king, you know, can't help you. I got a route to do, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, it worked out without having it planned. But like I said, I think going forward, we'll at least have a way to get to the road and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And I remember we had.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And I talked about, like, okay, so this would have been Sunday at that point. Our initial plan, we weren't supposed to finish hiking until Monday.
Right.
So we had said, okay, well, if this don't work out, we can stay. Well, we could either try to make it to the next campground and just finish the whole thing.
Right.
Or the other thing that we had talked about is, like, okay, well, if we can't catch this bus on Sunday and it is cash only, well, then we at least have an entire day to get to this ATM and back to this campground. And then we'll wait here for the bus on Monday.
Right. Either make it, see if a reservation's open for a site at the campground for Sunday night, or go back a mile out where we stayed before.
Right.
You know, it, like there was at least a plan to where we could get. Well, in Monday, we wouldn't even have had, if we had waited till Monday, they could have run our credit card over the phone. It was because it was the weekend, they weren't in the office, right. So they couldn't run the credit card. So, right. So there is that. But yeah, I mean,
all in all.
It worked out. It worked out.
All in all, it worked out. But we also got lucky. We did not have we did not have a good plan that time. For what if things go wrong and things really go south? Because we had just come off the previous year where everything went textbook good.
Yeah.
So well, we didn't plan.
The last day on the first trip, I was dying on the way out. I mean, we mentioned it before. Like, we had those stairs to climb. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was uphill both ways.
No, we were, we were for sure dying.
But
it was the, also the last day. It was like
we were getting to the truck.
There's no clock that we're following. Like all we had to do was get to the truck that day. And even then we had an option. We had an escape route for that last day. You just wouldn't let me take it. There was the road a mile away and you were like, no, we're not taking the road. We're taking the trail. So we could have had a significantly easier way to get back to the truck had we actually needed it.
I stand by my decision.
Now, I appreciate you making me finish. It was some of the gorgeous views that we had seen on that entire trip. I'm glad we finished it, but there was an escape plan that last day. You just wouldn't let me invoke the escape plan.
No. Nope.
But, no, I'm happy that we didn't. But yeah, I mean, so the lesson that Mike and I learned, like we were, when we got pulled out of those woods on that bus, both of us had our tails tucked between our legs. We were feeling embarrassed that we didn't finish it. It was a big hit to the ego. I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, really was like, man, what is wrong with me? Like, why couldn't I finish that? But with the perspective of looking back on it, I stand by what we did. I think it was the right decision, even to this day. I'm not entirely sure we could have made the distances we would have needed to get to our spots.
Something I was going to say earlier is that when we were deciding, like you asked me if I could finish it over the next couple of days, part of my decision of saying no was that the conditions were supposed to be the exact same the next 2 days. We weren't getting humidity relief. We weren't getting temperature relief. It was just a hot August. For that time, like this year, it didn't even get up to 90 degrees, barely at all.
Oh, I know.
You know, like, so would have been a completely, like, it was perfect temperatures when we went up there this year.
I know. When we did it this year, it was like, this is no big deal. What was our problem last year?
Right. I really think last year we could have done it. Of course, also last year was when we decided we wanted to try our trekking poles.
Well, I know. And that goes back to the previous episode or a couple episodes ago about trekking poles. Screw trekking poles, though, dude. Like, I'm still fired up about that. That might have been. We maybe can pitch the whole thing on trekking poles and none of it on the humidity. I don't know.
Fair. I just felt like I was using too much energy on my arms.
Yes. We should have chucked those stupid trekking poles. I'm not a big fan of littering, so it's probably why I didn't do it. But we should have just chucked them trekking poles into the woods.
We ended up just carrying them for the last little bit. Like, but first part of the day before we got real high, we're just trucking right along with these trekking poles. And I'm like, I don't even know what these are for.
Right.
So.
Right. Ugh, stupid trekking poles. Yeah, listen to the trekking poles episode if you haven't listened to the trekking poles episode, because I got questions. So
it starts off with strong feelings and ends up being strong questions.
Clearly still have strong feelings about trekking poles. I'm not going to get over it. Change my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I just, they're not for me, but. like, they're obviously for somebody. I mean, we're getting back into it, yeah. But they're obviously for somebody. If you use them, great, more power to you. Yeah. That's where we will differ.
But, so then, back to what we're actually talking about, though, is these escape paths, or escape plans, yeah. At least. We had an escape plan this year when we went back up. So our egos were hurt last year. We didn't finish it. So this year, when we went on our multi-day trip, we wanted to go back up and finish what we started last year. So we got dropped back off at the exact same spot that we left off on last year and finished what we started. And the bad thing with the Porky's is there's not really great escape routes, but we did plan, like, okay, we're going to be hiking through this day use area. We're going to be hiking past this road. Like, these are the spots we could bail if we wanted.
You just said the Porky's.
Oh, sorry. Pictured Rocks.
Thank you. I'm like...
Yeah, sorry. Pictured Rocks. Yeah, so there's not great escape routes in Pictured Rocks, but there are some that get you back to somewhat civilization. And lesson learned from last year is this year we at least carried cash in the event that we freaking needed to call the bus. So that we didn't have to have that extra layer of what are we going to do?
Yep.
At least we had cash this time. So, you know, as much as possible, I do recommend, especially for the amateur hiker, which is what we're...
Is us.
I mean, that's us and that's who we're talking to, right? Like, you're listening to this because we're amateurs and you're amateurs. Take some cash with you. Like, that was the big lesson that I took away last year was... Well, for one, the first lesson was know your body and know when you've had enough. Like, and I am glad both of us listened to ourselves with that. Mm-hmm. And then secondary lesson is carry some cash. That was a whole layer of stress that we really didn't need to have had we just had some cash on us.
Yep. And just, you know, living in civilization where credit card is accepted 95% of the locations you visit, probably even higher than 95%. Going up to an area where on a weekend, because the office is closed, they don't have a square or whatever with the on-call person.
Right.
Or on the bus. And they don't have it on the bus because the bus don't get cell signal 90% of the time where they're going. So it's just, yeah. We just did not think that cash was necessary, and I didn't really feel like losing cash on the trail. Like, honestly, there's always that chance where you just drop or whatever. Like, it's in my pack. Like, my wallet, everything just stays in my pack. But, I don't know. I just felt like there was a chance I was going to lose cash or whatever.
Honestly, cash didn't even cross my mind. Like, I just don't carry cash in my daily life.
No.
Which, you know, this is not a political podcast, so we get into the whole... Cash is king and all that sort of stuff.
Do you want to start a political podcast? It sounds like you do.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? I know. I really don't. But, like, you know, like, I get all the arguments, whatever, I should carry cash. You could tell me that I should carry cash daily anyway. But, and realistically, I probably should. But I don't normally. Right. In my daily life, I don't carry cash. Didn't even cross my mind that I was going to need cash in the middle of the forest. You know what I mean? Like, just wasn't a thing that I thought about. Well, now I'm certainly going to think about it every time. And so I'm passing that tidbit on to anybody that might be listening is wherever you're at, take a little bit of cash with you. I'm not saying take hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but take enough to maybe get yourself out of a jam if you need to.
Just off of our experience, and we were only, I mean, realistically, the bus needed to take us. By road, it was, I don't know, it was 15 miles or whatever, but that 15 miles took a half hour or whatever because all the winding turns and all that stuff. So, and then, like, when we were at the campground, you were walking around trying to get people to just asking anybody, like, you know, this is our situation, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're parked at Grand Marais Visitor Center. You know, it's almost dark. It's dinner time. People are cooking some delicious smelling meals.
There was one people that I asked, I'm like, hey, like, do you, you know, this is where we're parked, is there any way? He's like, yeah, I don't know, that's like a 2-hour round trip to get there and back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, crap, I didn't realize that, you know. That's a big ask to ask just a stranger in the woods.
That's where I was just like, I don't even know if I would say yes on that. Like, I would like to think it if I didn't have anything going on, whatever, I would like to think that I would help somebody out in that situation.
Yeah.
But depending on what we got going on or what's happening, I don't know. Like, I would like to think that I would, but I don't know. And so, but that at, with that point, I didn't blame them for saying no.
I absolutely don't hold that against somebody for saying no. It's a big ask. I mean,
yeah. But with our experience, I would say the bus was $35 a person. We tipped them handsomely. Well, what I consider handsomely.
Yeah.
Like, we each gave him $50.
Yeah.
So he made $100. He was $100 off of a $70 ride.
Right.
So $30. I think that's a pretty, pretty fair tip. But, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's, I would say $50 per person, probably enough. Maybe not these days. I don't know.
I think that's plenty. Because here's the other thing that we decided is, okay, let's say both of us had $50 on us, right? Let's say both of us even had $20 on us. Well, one of us could have gotten a bus ride.
Well, yeah, fair. And then the other one could have.
And then you could have went and got the vehicle and then came back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, take some. You know, I'm not saying take hundreds of dollars, like I said, but take some to at least, you know, get you out of a jam or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess the biggest point is just, it's something to think about before you go out there. Like, take a look at a map, take a look at, you know, where you're at, and maybe at least have an idea in your head where if you need to bail for any reason, whether you get injured, whether you just don't like it, whether you just can't go as far as you thought you could, whatever the reason is, if you need to bail, have somewhat of an overview of what's around you and have a general idea of, well, if things go to shit, we could try to do this.
Right. And remember, we talked about this. We didn't bail. We knew our limits.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. We listened to our bodies. We knew our own limits. We didn't quit. We made the smart decision to listen to our bodies. Yes, I need to change the narrative in my head about that because I still...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I have like this weird complex about...
You've still got that negative, like, I failed.
Yeah.
Whereas you actually succeeded in knowing that you could have died out there if you kept going.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we would have died. I think we just would have been hurting pretty bad, but...
Yeah, we would have been there till Wednesday, and we only had till Monday.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, yeah. I mean, in the end, it all worked out good. It makes for a fairly entertaining story if anybody wants to listen to it. And it was a lesson learned. Like, realistically, it was a life lesson. We learned a lot from that experience.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us will ever forget it. And, you know.
Well, especially, like, I didn't even want to call my wife and say, you know, we're no longer on the trail. We're back in, you know, like, I almost just said, we're getting a hotel for two nights and we're still going back on Tuesday. Wait, no, like,
I know. We had that discussion because I was the same way. I'm like, man, we are never going to hear the end of this.
Nope. So, but we, you know, like I said, put our tail between our legs and made those calls and just said, we'll be home a day early and all that stuff. It was still a good time. You got to see some amazing views and things that, again, 99% of people on Earth never get to see. So that's what I really love doing it for a lot of those reasons, is just that it's something, I mean, a lot of people see stuff that I don't get to see, but just knowing that, like, you know, walking along Lake Superior for days on end is just, to me, it's just amazing. I love that lake, and I just keep going back out in the woods because it's, I don't know, nature is awesome.
Nature is awesome. It's gorgeous out there. But, you know where you're going, I think.
Know where you're going, yep.
I think that's the big takeaway. Yeah. Know where you're going and know where you're at.
Research your plan. Research your route, and just don't just drive to a parking lot and be like, yeah, I can walk right here.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah, know where you're going, know where your campsites are, know where there might be an alternate route from those campsites just in case something goes awry. So
Yeah,
I think
and,
that's the gist of it.
I think that's the gist of it, and the only thing that I'll maybe add on to that, and this isn't maybe specific to escape route, and maybe we should have an episode about like communication devices and things like that, but the other big thing that Mike and I do make sure that we do before we go out is we let somebody know, generally both of our spouses, but if we didn't have them, I'm sure we would let somebody else know, like, okay,
right,
this is where we're parking, this is where we should be night one, this is where we should be night two, this is where we should be night three.
Right.
You know, this is when I'll be able to check back with you for sure. Right. And if you don't hear from me by that point, you know, that's
the route
we were taking. This is the route we were taking. So, you know, so somebody at least knows, like, okay, well, this is where you're supposed to be. So if something were to happen and you don't check in when you're supposed to check in, well, maybe somebody else can at least alert somebody or start to be concerned at least. Which, again, isn't necessarily have an evacuation plan or an escape route, but I think it's kind of adjacent to that. So,
it at least, like, if for some reason, like, the trails we're on are very well groomed, very well marked. Well, this last one wasn't very well marked, but
it was well groomed.
It was well groomed. The trails that we have been on have been very difficult to get lost per se. Well, I guess the one along the beach, but we knew at least along the beach.
I know, but worst case, you're right along the lake.
You're still,
I mean,
still along the lake.
Even if we weren't on the trail,
you're
not going to get lost. Because, I mean, there's a lake on one side.
I'm sure there are trails that are out there that maybe not so well groomed or not so well marked or whatever. You end up taking a left when you should have taken a right, whatever, or gone straight when you should have taken a right. If you end up lost and not finding your destination, you don't get back to your vehicle on the time you tell your spouse or whoever your contact is that you tell, at least they know where you were supposed to be and they can start a search in that vicinity. If you somehow, for some reason, don't get back to a cell signal or anything like that, you know, there is that chance when you go out into the woods and all that, in Michigan here, you find a body of water, you just follow it, and you'll end up by a road somewhere. So,
yeah.
But,
I mean, neither
I can't
one of
speak
us
for
are,
all 50 states.
You think that you're going to be on Naked and Afraid, but, I mean, we're not survivalists by any means. That's a different podcast if you want to learn how to survive out in the woods. But, well, I would not do good
on that show.
Yeah, well, from your couch, you said last time. But, yeah, we're not going to teach you how to survive out in the woods, but, you know, generally speaking, follow a body of water, that's going to lead you to civilization. Like Mike said, we've been very fortunate. The trails that we are generally on here in Michigan are pretty well groomed, fairly well to very well marked. So it is pretty hard to get lost where we have been so far. I am sure we will get to paths that are not that well marked. And I am sure nationally, I am sure there are plenty of spots that have trails that are not well marked. So, you know, just keep it all in mind. Keep your head about you. Keep your wits about you. Have a bit of a plan. Let somebody know what your plan is. And look, you know, the big thing is, I really do suggest, in one way or another, carry a map with you.
Carry a paper map.
Even if you don't fully know how to read it, I mean, at least if you get to a fork in the road, if you can look at your map and be like, okay, well, this is, it shows a fork here, so I should be roughly here, you know. Mike and I like to take GPS type stuff and all that sort of fun stuff, but at least have a cursory understanding of how to read the map at the very least.
you don't necessarily need to take a paper map as long as you know that you have a way to charge your device out on the trail. We take screen grabs and save them in our photos. We don't rely on the cell signal or whatever to be able to pull that map back up. We screen grab it while we have signal, and you can just save it right in your photos app or whatever. Yep. And you can revisit that anytime. So we take multiples, like kind of close up photos of the trails we're going to be on. So we can see, okay, this is here, this is there, whatever. We can take a right here, or we could take, you know, whatever. We have maps that keep us going. And the app that Footpath, I think, is what it is. It's a free app.
Yeah.
It's whatever. If there's a premium, you can pay. But, like, the free features on it, you can mark out on the trail where you're going. It'll tell you where the elevation gain is going to be, where the elevation loss is going to be. And tells your mileage to a pretty accurate amount based on – it doesn't know your exact campsite, but right around where you're going. Yeah. And we took screen grabs of that, and that's what we sent to our spouses this past trip. And, like, it was actually, like, they knew, like, this is how many miles we're going and all that kind of stuff. So,
and, I mean, realistically, if I'm giving advice, we don't always follow our own advice. But if I'm giving advice, I'm saying take a printed copy. Take a paper map with you.
Yeah.
You and I, we don't – we're in areas that we kind of know – we look at the maps extensively before we go. You take a copy on your digital device. I take a copy on my digital device. So, I mean, it would have to go really south for both of us to have our phones die with our battery backup. I mean, a lot would have to go wrong.
Yeah.
And I agree. That could happen. Like, if it gets 100%. Real bad, our digital devices could die. We should take a paper copy. Maybe I'll take my own advice next time I go out, but I do recommend if you have the ability to take a paper copy, really that's your best bet. Cause
that's fair. Yep.
You know,
so
maybe we should follow our own advice, Mike, and be better at it. But I feel like we do enough redundancy things where it would have to get really bad. And if it got to a point where it was really bad in that way, I'm not sure a map would help us.
Well, yeah.
You know, if it got that bad for where we've been anyway.
Is you and I basically do what we're doing here to record this podcast. We do the exact same thing when we're planning our trips. But instead of recording, we are talking and we're both looking at maps. We're both looking at surrounding areas, parking lots, campsites. Yep. Like we're doing our research while we're FaceTiming or on the phone or whatever. So we're just constantly just looking into it, and we're like both like, okay, you see this, you know, and like we're just real timing it, making those plans. If you have somebody that get together and look at the same device at the same time, like go out, have a drink or do whatever, and look at the same screen, make your plans, take your notes, do all that stuff, do that ahead of time. One of the worst things you can do is just go out into the woods without a plan and not know where you're going. So just get out there and have fun, but just be smart about it. And I think that's kind of been one of the themes of every episode. Just get out there, but be smart about it. Like, have fun, but just don't be dumb. Make sure you've got your wits about you and you make smart decisions and just, you know, stay safe.
Yeah. Stay safe. That's the big one. Stay safe.
Yep.
And plan for, I don't want to say the worst case scenario, but have a plan. Have an escape route.
A plan. Yeah.
You know, figure out where you could go if you need to. That's the big takeaway is know where you could go if you need help. So
So on this one, we're saying plan for the worst, hope for the best. When it comes to clothes and food, we typically just say take what is enough.
Yeah. Right. So
don't plan for the worst with that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because that's heavy.
I think that covers all the bases that I wanted to cover. Did we miss anything that you wanted to cover, Mike?
No. I would say, yeah, just be safe and have fun. Hopefully, we'll see you on the trails or not.
And if anybody can think of anything that we missed, or if you have questions or comments about, you know, how we do anything, or if you think that we're doing it wrong and you have a better way to do it, you can always reach us on email, SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the socials at SeanMikeHike. Reach out to us and tell us if you've got a differing opinion. We can always revisit this if we need to, or if somebody comes up with a better tip that we didn't think of. So,
yeah.
We'd love to hear it if we're done. I guess
one thing, I mean, somebody might, but it could go along with our devices and all that kind of stuff, but like sat phones or GPS like devices, things like
that. Yeah, I figured we'll have a whole different thing about communication devices, because that's a whole episode on its own about what all the different devices are. But
yeah, that's fair.
We'll talk about that in a future episode, but yeah.
All right.
That's all I got, Mike.
Go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike, eh? We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah. See ya.
Screw trekking poles, though, dude. Like, I'm still fired up about that.